Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Traps Lodge, episode number 10. So last episode, we were up in the mountains in Wyoming with Trapper and some of his friends. We hope y'all enjoyed that episode. It was a little different than what we normally do. This week, we are back to in-studio episodes, a little more technical. We talk about rifles, calibers, stuff that's frankly way over my head, but I do try to throw some questions in there for anybody that's new to the game that might not understand what Trapper's talking about, kind of like I do in this episode.
Hey guys, be sure and give us your feedback on email us or message us on Instagram or Facebook, because what you want to hear or what you liked or didn't like about our Traps Lodge episodes, and we can go from there. Thank you for listening in.
Yeah, we really rely on what y'all like and don't like, and we love the feedback because we can better kind of coordinate and mold our episodes to things that you all will enjoy. So episode number 10, everybody, rifles, calibers, scopes, everything else. Enjoy. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Traps Lodge.
Hey, guys and gals. Welcome to Traps Lodge.
Today, we are going to discuss all things rifles. So we talked a little bit about preparing for bow season, and now we're going to talk a little bit about preparing for rifle season, what type of rifle caliber. This is way more your alley than mine, but I'm here for it. So I'll let you start leading off with talk a little bit about what type of rifle to use for what type of animal you're hunting.
Oh, there's great all-around calibers, and the problem is there's so many calibers to choose from. It's almost getting confusing, honestly. I always go back to the good old days, the good 300 Win Mag and 308s and 223. I grew up hunting with a 222 and shot hundreds of deer with that rifle that my mother left me when she passed away. So it's just always fluent, and it's always changing, and technology's always changing. The biggest thing that's changed is our optics have changed immensely. Growing up hunting with my brother, sitting on big, wide-open oak fields and shooting 300, 400, 500, 600 yards, we used to step it off and put rocks out there in the oak field to gauge our range, because we didn't have range finders back then, and that's how we grew up, and we calculated the old good old holdover, you know, how far to hold over a deer to actually hit it. And now we've got rifles with turrets on them. I adapted that myself. I've got some great custom rifles by Teapot Creek Precision in Casper, Wyoming. My buddy Mike Owens up there builds for me. I don't shoot anything but what he builds for me, and he builds a great rifle. They're probably not affordable for everybody, but I think there's factory rifles have come a long way. Their technology has come a long way. They've adapted to competing with custom rifles. They've put better triggers in them. They've put better stocks on them. They've put better everything on them. And that in itself is showing true, you know, where there's a supply, there's a demand.
Okay, so let me ask you this. If you have a rifle that you like, one that you're speaking of, can you shoot most things with that rifle, or what? Kind of where's the cutoff where you need something different for the larger exotics and that sort of thing? Or is there a cutoff?
Definitely. I mean, there's even laws in some states that you have to have a certain caliber rifle to hunt with. Africa requires a 30 caliber rifle for most animals. The state of Wyoming, I think, requires a certain caliber with certain animals. And different states are also the same. 30 caliber or bigger. But there's the 270 and the 7 mag and the 264 Win Mag, which I love, and all of those and above that, they're just great calibers that have come through the times. The 6.5 Creedmoor's been a very popular round. I've had a lot of guys bring that hunting, and I've had a lot of guys be disappointed in that because it's just not a good killing caliber. They've improved that with the 6.5 Grindel and a 6.5 PRC, and then they've come out with a 300 PRC. there's just so many wildcat rounds out there. Like I said, it just gets very diluted and very confusing.
Okay, so let me ask you this. If I am a brand new hunter brand new to hunting, where would you start? What type of gun would you suggest for me?
It depends on what you want to hunt. You know, if you're talking whitetail size stuff, you can do 223 to 300 Win Mag and you're good. If you're talking mule deer, you want a little bit better, 270 and up. You're talking elk, you want 270 and way up, like 7 Mag, 300 Win Mag, 28 Nosler is one of my favorites. I've got a custom 28 Nosler I love. There's just so many calibers. The biggest thing about a rifle is, I think, is that you've got a good optic on your rifle. You've got a good trigger pull, which I like a 2 pound, 2.5 pound trigger for most clients. Mine might be a hair lighter. Length of pull, make sure that rifle fits you. I've got some rifles I've had built that are 1.5 inches shorter in the stock, so that your trigger pull is quite a bit shorter for small people and women, children. And your typical trigger pull, I think, is about 13.5. And I've got some stocks cut down to about 12.25. So being a beginner hunter, I've had some guys. I had one guy, I won't mention his name. He's a little bitty guy, didn't weigh 130 pounds. And everybody and their dogs tried to teach him how to shoot. And they kept handing him like big caliber rifles that would just literally kick the crap out of him with really hard triggers to pull, and he would just miss everything at even like 60 yards. I had a gun built. It was a 260 Remington, and I shoot all my rifles with suppressors, and suppressors is a whole nother ball of wax we can get into, but it takes a lot of recoil out of the gun. It takes a lot of makes it more accurate. Just it takes the sound out. It's a lot more pleasurable to shoot. Anyway, so I set Dan up with a 260 Remington that Mike Owens built for me, and I put a suppressor on it. And so I set him up with that rifle and kind of had to redo everything he knew about shooting. And we spent a lot of time on the bench just getting him comfortable with that rifle, knowing that it wasn't going to just kick the hell out of him. It wasn't going to buck him, and he could watch, you know, that impact of the bullet through the scope. And that trigger pull wasn't real hard. So the trigger pull wasn't real hard, and we got him shooting really well, and he's got great confidence in that rifle. Now he's killed multiple animals with it. And the thing is, you can take a cheap rifle or an old rifle and drop a Trigger Tech trigger in it, or a Jewel trigger, an aftermarket trigger, and lighten that trigger up. You can thread it and get a suppressor put on it. You can up your optics. You can take an $800 rifle and make it shoot really well. The factory rifles have come a long way. Savage, Ruger, Winchester, Remington, all those brands have come a long way in their triggers and their setups. And Begara has come out with a great rifle. A lot of Begara is really popular right now. Begara used to make barrels, and now they're making rifles.
So if I'm, like I said, that beginning hunter and I'm going shopping for a gun, is there a certain brand you would recommend? What key things do I need to look for in purchasing my first rifle? What's kind of important? What would you recommend for me?
Like I said, Begara is really popular right now. I don't particularly own one. A lot of my guides do. I like Ruger and Winchester, but my custom rifles are built on a Remington action. So there's so much variety. Like I said, it gets so diluted and confusing and what to get, what to buy. If I went to a store and said, what's the best rifle on your shelf that I can buy for the money, I think Begara is probably it right now. Savage has come out a long way. They've come out with some better triggers than the rifle. They're building a better rifle than they built 20 years ago. I love my Ruger rifles. Most of the time, Ruger off the shelf comes with a really heavy trigger, so I'll usually get my Ruger rifles redone in the trigger. Other than that, it's a great working gun. I can throw it in the mud, I can roll it around, bang it around, it's gonna work. Winchester's the same way.
So let me ask you this, how much, when it comes down to it, how much of a difference does it really make which brand you have? Is it more so what you're comfortable with, or can you really go wrong with a brand? in your opinion?
I think it's so competitive now that most brands are all stepping up and they're all pretty consistent. I think it's just what it's like Dodge, Ford, or Chevy. What's your preference? What looks better on you? What do you think you look better wearing? You know, is it a t-shirt or is it a button up? I'm a t-shirt guy, so I'm going to go with the Ruger rifle. And other than my custom guns, I own Ruger Model 77s or Ruger Guide Guns or Ruger Gunsight Scouts, or I own Winchester Model 70s. I like an old wooden stock. There's so many varieties of synthetic stock rifles now. I don't like a hunting rifle that looks like an AR, and I don't like guys that bring an AR to come hunting. I just don't feel safe around them. They're not very accurate. I get that guys love to hunt with them. It's just not my style. The guys that come with big competition guns that are bulky and big, and it's like, well, I'm not going to hike up a mountain with you with you're carrying a 12-pound gun. I mean, if you're going to walk up a mountain, you need to have a rifle that's built to be a mountain gun. You know, you need a 6.5, 7.5-pound gun that's going to shoot 800 yards. And those are where you get into those Mike Owens rifles, those Teapot Creek Precisions. I've got a 28 that's very lightweight, doesn't kick, and I can kill something 1,000 yards with it. And it's the greatest rifle I've had my entire life. But it's a synthetic stock. It's not a big, heavy wood stock, and the optics aren't heavy on it. And there's just so much variety in technology. I think 30 years ago, there just wasn't.
Yeah, it sounds like it would be very overwhelming for somebody who didn't know what they were looking for to start looking.
Agree. And the problem is also, we watch TV and you see guys shooting long range on these hunting shows. I think I'd rather be a better hunter than be a better shot. I would rather you or me get a client within 300 yards, 400 yards to make a shot than try to shoot at 800 to 1,000 yards with somebody that's never shot that far. I don't think it's something everybody should do just right out of the bat. Go to a shooting school. Go buy that expensive rifle and go to that shooting school before you try that shot, because it's not worth wounding an animal at that yard. Your most important shot's your first one. And so I think if you have that mindset, like if that first shot's not perfect and I'm in my mind, I'm able to walk, let that elk or mule deer walk over the hill and feel better about it than wounding it, then you're a better hunter. If you know that you can close in from 800 to 400, that makes you a better hunter, not a better shot. It makes you a better ethical hunter. There's so many variables that come into play past 500 yards. So I try to be a better guide. I try to know what my client is capable of, and knowing what my rifle is capable of. And I've extended a lot of my clients' shooting abilities. A lot of guys have never shot past 150 yards, but I'll extend them to 400. But I know that we have a follow-up shot situation where I'm very confident in my rifle and their ability. But I'm not going to try to make that client shoot 800 yards that's never even attempted to hit steel at that range. I want to be a better guide and get in closer, because your first shot's the most important.
That makes sense. Okay, so you made the comment about go get that expensive rifle. First question, I don't know if I want to know this. What's the most expensive gun you've ever purchased?
$8,500.
Okay, that's not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Just don't sell it for what you think it's worth.
Oh, okay. Oh, so no, you really didn't pay $8,500. Hey, now. I know. You did say, if I ever die, don't sell my guns for what I told you I paid for them.
Exactly. But the other thing is, I mean, you're going to match a rifle with an optic that's sustainable. So don't put a bumper sticker on a Bentley. Like, don't buy a $3,000 rifle and put a Tasco scope on it.
So that was my next question. Let's say that you, because I know you're very passionate about this, if you don't have the money to go buy this crazy nice expensive rifle, you can make a decent rifle out of something less expensive, right?
Yeah, you can take an $800 rifle and spend another few hundred dollars and make that rifle really, really just what you want it to be. Most factory rifles now will shoot, they're made to shoot good. If they don't, send it back. And if they don't, it could be user error too, because maybe it's your that's the problem, not the rifle. So, but I adamantly put good optics on your rifle. If you spend $800 on a rifle, don't be shy to spend $800 or $1,000 on a scope.
Because okay, so yeah, let's walk us through this. You're buying a rifle. What do you buy for $800? Specifics. Tell the listeners.
I haven't bought an $800 rifle in a long
time. Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, what?
Okay, I mean, I bought a Ruger guide gun 300 mag that was $1,100.
Okay, and what kind of scope do you put on it?
I put a Swarovski scope on it.
Is there a model, or it's just?
Remember the model.
Okay, I'm putting you on the spot here.
It was on sale. Don't get me into the logistics of that. I just put a good Swarovski scope on it. I got a 500-yard turret for it. I did the chronograph the bullet coming out, and I sent my information into Swarovski. They sent me a turret that fits right on it. So there's no guesswork with my turrets. I get Leupold and Swarovski both. I'm sure a lot of other companies do the same thing. I chronograph a gun. You can go to the gunsmith and do that. You can go maybe to a gun shop and do that. Get your rifle chronographed, and they will give you a custom turret cut for whatever bullet you're shooting out of that gun. So you're not doing MOA or clicks. Every turret is cut to like 100, 200, 300, 400, all the way around. So you're not trying to count clicks or doing MOAs.
Okay, so for people that don't know what that is, all those terms you just used.
MOA is minute of angle, but that's just totally different than yards. So it's just having a turret that's really simple to read. A lot of guys that I hunt with, they have their dope on their like stock. They have like 300 yards is so many clicks, 400 yards is so many clicks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they have got to look down at their stock and then click their gun to that. But like my turrets, like you just click it to the yardage and it's golden. You're good.
Okay. Interesting.
It's very, the technology is so advanced that it's just so simple to set up a rifle that's like fail proof.
Right. And then I wanted to point out too, you made the comment, I think, in one of the first or second podcast about using what you're comfortable with. And it might not be what your friends are using. It might not be the most popular thing. But if what you feel comfortable to go grab and step out on your back porch, like you said, kind of, is what you should take hunting with you, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Like mostly if a guy's coming whitetail hunting with me, he says, hey, I've got my old 30-06 or my 270 that I've shot my whole entire life, and I've got that, or I've got my 6.5 Creedmoor that's on an AR platform. I'm like, leave the 6.5 Creedmoor at home, please, and bring the gun that you grew up hunting with. Now, if we're going mule deer, elk, caribou, moose hunting, and that guy doesn't have a rifle that's in the capability that I want it to be, I'm just like, just show up without a rifle and use mine, because I don't want you to go spend thousands of dollars just for that hunt. A lot of, you know, guys are constantly, we are constantly buying new rifles, new toys. We have to have them, right? So I like a guy that shows up and says, hey, man, this is a new rifle. I never kill anything with it. I want to put something underneath it. I want to get something with it. I'm all good with that. But let's go practice with it. Let's go dry fire it a couple of times. And then let's get that trigger feel down. And then let's go shoot it at the target. And that's not just shoot it at 100 yards. Let's go shoot it at 100 yards and make sure it's on. And let's stretch it out there to 300 and 400 and see how comfortable you are with it. And I'm not talking about hitting a bullseye. Let's just put a Coke can out there and see if you can hit that. So building confidence in your rifle is very important to me.
That was going to be my next question. So we've talked a lot about like different types of rifles and calibers and what you can do to build a good rifle. But let's say you finally get that rifle built, hunting season comes around, it's a brand new gun. And you kind of touched on a little bit about what you want your hunters to do, but is there anything else they can do to kind of prep for the season with their new rifle?
Well, like if you have a brand new rifle, they say breaking in the barrel is a smart thing. They say like shoot 3 shots, clean it, let it cool down. You know, shoot another 2-3 shots, clean it, let it cool down. And gunsmiths will all have their different opinion. But I think that first box of bullets, you probably need to break that rifle in correctly, especially if you spent money on it. Especially on a custom rifle, they tell you how to break those barrels in. But just practice with it, and not just practice, you know, at 100 yards. Don't just make sure it's on. Like, shoot a box of bullets through it over a week and get really comfortable with that gun.
I think that's definitely important, like you said, the confidence in your gun.
Yeah. And I've had guys show up and shoot something and wound it and be like, well, I wasn't really sure if it was on or not. It's like, well, what do you mean you weren't really, like, you weren't confident in it, you know? And then so everything goes south.
So once you're out in the field on the hunt, any tips, tricks, anything for rifle hunters? I know you had quite a bit for bow hunters.
Yeah, I think rifle season, you know, you're getting into rifle season, you're talking about stand hunting in Texas. A lot of guys sitting, you know, box stands, you know, remember to break up your silhouette, maybe put some cloth behind you so you, those deer don't see you in the hunting blind. Be sure and acclimate those deer, you know, use your road feeder or drive in there and trip the feeder and just get those deer used to you coming and going. And so when you go in there opening in the morning and there's doors slamming and guys talking and coffee smell and tobacco spit on the ground, that those deer are used to that.
What about safari style hunting with a rifle? Any tips there? I know that you've had the hood of your Jeep shot once or twice.
I've only had 3 hoods shot in my lifetime. A couple of doors, a couple of quarter panels. I had all kinds of stuff shot on a vehicle, but safari style is a whole different style of hunting. And a lot of people are used to stand hunting. So safari style is a little bit quicker reaction. It's like shooting off the sticks. It's a little bit quicker reaction. You don't have all day to watch a whitetail buck come in and eat a pile of corn and look at him with your binos and then, oh, I'm going to get my rifle up and ready. And
see, that's my problem. I'm slow. Like when you haven't taken me hunting personally, but I'm slow. Like I just take a while to get ready to take the shot. And so
most people do.
Safari style hunting scares me.
You got to be quick on the trigger. You got to be able to throw up and find your target and shoot it. So it's just practice. A lot of people practice on a bench. I think you need to practice, you know, sitting, standing, laying down, shooting off a stick, shooting over the hood of the truck, shooting out the door of the window. Of course, I grew up shooting out the door of the window. So I'm good with that. There was something else I had on my mind. I can't remember. One thing we do is guides. A lot of times we use shooting sticks in a box stand underneath the butt of a rifle, especially with kids, just because you have a pivot point. You know, when you get that rifle out the window of a hunting blind, it wants to kind of pivot a little bit. And oftentimes we end up, kids and inexperienced hunters end up dropping the butt of the rifle. And so it pivots and they end up shooting over. So we've got like trigger sticks or shooting sticks that we put underneath the butt of that rifle and kind of stabilize that rifle and make it a little bit more secure. And there's some other tricks like that you can use just to make, like, you know, kids and stuff like that. So they don't really need to hold that rifle 100%. It's just kind of sitting there and they can put it in the right position and feel confident in their shot.
That's actually excellent advice for kids, because I would imagine a rifle to like a 8-year-old seems pretty heavy.
Well, it's not that. It's just it's awkward. You know, because usually it's too long. The stock's too long for them, so they're just not, it's not fit for them. Yep. So youth rifles are great, but, you know, making that rifle solid on some shooting sticks really helps. Like I said, shooting with confidence, caliber, range, wind. You know, I didn't really learn how to judge wind until I went to Wyoming and started hunting years ago, and I learned a lot of long range shooting and then judging the wind up there. You know, there's always a windage turret on my rifles, but you don't have time to use it. So like knowing kind of what your wind's doing and then being able to hold for it, or telling somebody how to hold for wind.
And how did you, this might be a silly question, but how did you learn? Just experience?
No, I was taught.
Okay. What does that teaching look like? Like how'd they teach you?
Because they know, because they were born in the wind in Wyoming.
So they just know what to tell you and they just tell you and you retain that knowledge.
A lot of it's guesswork.
Okay.
But it's like, well, you got a 15 mile an hour wind, antelope standing left to right, wind's coming left to right, hold 12 inches to the right.
I just didn't know if there was a lot of math involved or if
there is, but it's just more guesswork. It's all in your head. I'm sure like those government snipers have a lot of math and they calculate it, but
that's what I was envisioning in my head when you were talking about wind.
With an animal, you just don't have that much time. You just have to have that feel, and that it's kind of like shooting a hook shot. You just got to just go for it.
All right. Interesting. Okay, well, we will wrap up here. Is there any last minute topics or little tips or tricks or advice for rifle hunters? Any brands you want to give a shout out to?
All I want to say is be sure your guns are sighted in, guys, and make sure your trigger pull is correct. You know, a few pounds, the lighter the trigger, the better. Make sure your length of pull is good. Be sure and go out there and practice, and not just on the bench, you know, practice off of sticks. Make yourself uncomfortable in an uncomfortable situation where you got to shoot, because that can always happen, especially if you're on a mountain hunt or a pack and hunt, not just sitting in a hunting blind. And be really confident in your weapon, and make sure you know, if you don't have a turret scope, know that how much drop that bullet has, and learn how to judge the wind a little bit. And the thing is, if you're shooting across a canyon, the wind on your face may be different across the canyon. And so, like, look at the grass and look at maybe the hair on the animal, seeing which way the wind's blowing there. It just takes experience to understand all the elements that come into it. So I want to say it's 90% luck.
Oh, goodness. Okay, and one more time, what was the brand of rifle that you said is real hot right now that you...
The Begara. The Begara is real hot. But I don't own one, but it's a real popular right now. They built rifles for a lot of... Or barrels, excuse me. They built barrels for a lot of years, and now they're building an entire rifle. I personally like Ruger and Winchester, but most of my custom guns are all built off of Defiance actions, which is almost like a Remington action. So... there's just so much variety out there. Don't come hunting with a 6.5 Creedmoor. I'll accept any other kind of calibers.
Let's say that somebody wants a custom gun built. Can they get one through you?
Yeah, they can contact me, and I'll put them in touch with Mikey Owens at Teapot Creek Precision. He can build the same rifle that Gunworks does for probably $1,500 less.
I know that you've been really pleased with his work, and I know a lot of time hunters will come and shoot the guns that he built for you and buy them off of you because...
Correct, yeah. Yeah.
They just like them that much.
Yeah, a lot of times guys show up, come hunting, and shoot my rifles, and they're like, I got to have it. And I'm like, well, I'll call Mikey and get him to build me another one because it looks just like it. So, yeah, it happens often.
Awesome. All right, well, good luck to all of our rifle hunters out there this season.
Yeah, guys, keep an open eye and shoot straight.
All right, we'll see you next week on Traps Lodge.
Signing off.